Pro Paint Days are back at Lowe's, and MyLowe's Pro Rewards members can save even more with limited-time deals. Right now, buy one, get one half off select HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams Primer and Ceiling Paint. Plus, get free same-day delivery to your job site when you order by 2 p.m. Offer valid through 6/13, delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Additional terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Well, the main thing that I object to is raising the debt ceiling $4 or $5 trillion. That's an indication that we'll borrow that much. It's an indication that we'll put the debt on the back burner. We'll have no more discussion of it for a year or two. And really, we're locked in a year right now where in March of this year, most of the Republicans, not me, voted to continue the Biden spending levels in March. So we're operating under a continuing resolution, which originated as Biden spending levels. You remember Republicans saying, Bidenomics, Biden inflation, Biden this, Biden that. Well, they voted for that in March. So the debt.
Yeah, they did. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Rand Paul is not wrong. And you can get mad at him for being correct all you want to, but it doesn't make him not wrong. That's the situation in which we find ourselves. And of course, we're talking about this bill because now it's in the Senate. And we told you this was coming, the timeline for all of this, that it was going to be happening this way. They're going to be fighting it out in the Senate, and then we're going to see what we get, if anything. I don't know. Oh, man. I'm not happy with it. You guys are well aware of this. But the problem that I have right now is everybody going after Rand Paul when he has been one of the realest dudes. Could you ask for a realer dude in the Senate? I mean, we've got a lot of bums in the Senate. I got to be honest with you. There are some serious bums in the Senate, and Rand Paul ain't one of them. And I need everybody to lay off him because he's always been a real one. And you guys know I hate politicians. I mean, I don't like hate them, but I don't like a lot of them. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's good. So we're gonna get into some of this because you guys know what the bill says, because I've told you, we've gone over all of that with you, what the bill says. What is in there, what isn't. So you guys are well aware of every aspect of it. Again, though, you are raising the debt ceiling. You're raising it, you're adding to the debt, and the tax cuts are temporary. They're temporary. They're not permanent. And they're not even all encompassing. There's not a lot of them. I mean, it's a modest amount. So, you know, I think all of the criticisms, if I'm raising the debt ceiling, my gosh, I want mondo tax cuts. I want major tax cuts if I'm raising the debt ceiling. But here's the thing. If you're reducing spending and giving tax cuts, you don't have to raise the debt ceiling. That's what nobody wants to talk about. You know why they want to raise the debt ceiling? It's because they want to spend more of what they don't have. And they could just stop spending all of this other nonsense. But heaven forbid they do that. And so I will say, so POTUS went after, I think this was a mistake on POTUS's part. And I'm going to say it again. If anybody just joining thinks that I'm going to be like one of these flash in the pan Johnny come latelys that tries to ingratiate myself so far up the backside of the government in a very unconstitutional betrayal of the animating spirit of liberty with which this country was founded. Clearly you're new here. Just FYI, we call balls and strikes because all of these politicians change out. The thing that's permanent is liberty, the Constitution and the will of the people. That is the only thing that's consistent. And liberty is the only thing that is even a situational permanence, depending on how voters vote. So I think Trump was wrong to go after Rand Paul, because Rand Paul has been one of the animating deliverers of his agenda. He has helped make Trump's agenda a conservative one. And when it's good legislation, Rand Paul will cut you to get it passed. So he went He said, quote, Rand Paul has very little understanding of the BBB, especially the tremendous growth that is coming. He loves voting no on everything. He thinks it's good politics, but it's not. The BBB is a big winner. He votes no on everything. He never has any practical or constructive ideas. That's, I don't even know what that means. His ideas are actually crazy. Losers. The people of Kentucky can't stand him. This is a big growth bill. Well, they can stand him because he's overwhelmingly popular. This is one of the things, too, that I think I want to look up. Quick thing here, because Trump's got to be careful in saying stuff like this. The reason I say that is because when he was criticizing Massey in that district got more votes than Trump. Rand Paul's the same in Kentucky. I'm just saying, you got to be careful with saying stuff like that. You can. I'm totally fine with like going after lawmakers, and you know, if you're trying to get them to vote a certain way. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be a boardroom badass, then you need to get Congress to go along with you without saying this kind of stuff. And I say this as somebody who, unlike the other people out there, I actually know Donald Trump. I introduced Donald Trump to a lot of conservative activists. I introduced him at CPAC. He's been on my radio show all the time. I know the family. I just don't feel like I got to constantly parade it around on social media for clicks because it feels whorish. And I've never done that. I'm more interested in everybody out there that I meet with that I talk to. I talk to all of you guys every single day. That being said, so this idea that if you disagree with something, like one thing that someone does, then that undermines, like, you know, I'm so tired of it. I'm just so tired of that deadbeat progressive mindset. And that's what it is. It's a deadbeat progressive mindset from people who've contributed nothing. That being said, you've got to be able to leverage your power and get people to do what you need to do without dragging it out publicly like this. Because I don't think that this is a good look for POTUS. I don't. It's not a good look to go after the most stalwart people that you have. Because when Trump has proposed, especially with the judiciary, a lot of people forget how hardcore Rand Paul went on a lot of these judicial picks that Trump had. There were some people that pretend to be like MAGA, nah, today, that were really critical of Trump's judicial picks because they thought that he was because he had to reshape the judiciary the second half of his first term. And a lot of people thought that they were some of his picks were a little bit too conservative, and he was getting some heat over it. Well, guess what? In the Senate, people like Rand Paul went to town on POTUS's behalf for that. And so people have really short memories. They have very short memories, and they're forgetting a lot of the stuff. You would not even have some of these people in the judiciary without people like Senator Rand Paul going to bat for them publicly and behind the scenes. So let's just lay that all out right there. The other thing is that if you're going to be a boardroom badass, part of that is being able to replicate those results in D.C., which is one of the reasons why people voted for him, POTUS, to take that mentality and replicate it in D.C. Get these lawmakers to do what you need them to do, because with the moment, and I say this to someone who does this, the moment you take it public, you lost behind the scenes. The moment you take it public. The public pressure campaign is the next step when you fail privately. Now, it's not the first step anybody should make in any kind of negotiation, and anyone who knows anything about negotiations will tell you that. That is the next step when privately doesn't work. So this suggests to me that he's not able to make his case convincingly enough to get these people to go and add to the debt ceiling. And I don't care who you are. This bill is a giant turd sandwich. It is. I've heard every argument. I understand it more thoroughly than the people who are criticizing me for going against it. I understand this bill six ways to Sunday. I've read the entire damn thing. I've written about it several times up on Substack. We've talked about it on air. I've talked to lawmakers about it. I've consulted with other people about this bill. It is what it is. It's a giant piece of feces. It is what it is. I've heard all the excuses that I've heard from Republicans for 20 years. These are the same Republicans who promised you that they were going to repeal Obamacare and they never did. I've heard it all. Now, I'm all about strategy and I'm completely open to being persuaded to that. But it's not my responsibility to persuade myself. It's the other people with the opposing ideas, their responsibility to persuade me and all of you out there. And if they're not able to do that, if they can't do it successfully, I guarantee you that going public and calling someone a loser is definitely not going to do it. So Rand Paul paid the cost to be the boss on conservatism. He did. So let's just get that out of the way. And he doesn't vote no on everything. That's, I mean, not even remotely accurate. And I don't know what's crazy, wanting to save people money. I think I guess it's crazy to expect lawmakers to actually hold fast to the promises that they make to the people. I know that everybody gets stars in their eyes, and not everybody, but a lot of people, they get stars in their eyes with some of these politicians, and they forget that you are their boss. They work for you. I don't care what they bring to the table. I don't care about their star power. I don't care how much money they have in the bank. I don't care how they dress, who they screw, what they do. I don't care. What are they doing for us? They work for us. End of. And so with this, I get so tired of this. And look, I was there, co-founded the modern day Tea Party movement. I get it. I know a lot of people said I was a purist. I wasn't a purist, and you're not a purist either. Don't fall for that old communist argument. They act like, oh my gosh, if you want a modest cut, then you're a purist. No, by God, if you run on the platform of cutting spending and delivering on tax cuts, is it our fault, the voters, for believing it? You tell me, if a politician promises you that he's going to cut your taxes and he's going to reduce spending so that your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren don't have the sort of Damocles that is the debt dangling over their heads every day, are you the baddie for expecting them to deliver on that promise? Are you a squish because you're expecting people that made promises to deliver on those promises? No, you're not. It's rhetorical. It's stupid to even entertain that as a legitimate premise. Come on. So this, I think going after people who are stalwart allies to the Constitution and to your agenda, I think that is a bad move. A bad move. It's not a good look. So we're going to dive into this. And we're also going to get into some of the latest on immigration. I have it as Dems. It's Gay Everything Month. We have an ad from Canada Air that might make you feel super confident about flying with Canada Air. So we're going to dive into that. And we're also going to get into some of the terrorist stuff. I literally have that down here as terrorist stuff. Now, here's why I say it, because I have a whole bunch of it. It's all related under this umbrella. Let me leave you with this tweet. NBC tweeted this, and I want you to tell me what sticks out to you. Here was their sentence. Lone wolf attacks on Jewish Americans in Boulder and D.C. highlight the difficulties in securing public spaces. Well, three words. Lone wolf attacks. What do you notice about the attacks?
Attacks seems to be plural.
You're right.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Because lone wolf would suggest singular.
And it also isn't the same wolf.
Right.
So, Kane, one more question for you before we get a break.
Sure.
So if you have like multiple lone wolves doing the same kind of attacks, is it still a lone wolf?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to err on the side of science here.
That's right.
No.
Logic, reason, and science. You're correct, sir. You're correct, sir. We're going to talk about this coming up as well. You don't want to miss. Our partners that help bring you this illustrious program. It's our friends at Superbeats. The Superbeats, the Super Barine, is the new product that you can actually now get at Sam's Club. And you have the Superbeats heart chews there as well. But the Super Barine product at Sam's Club, unique berberine that's been used. A lot of people are talking about metabolic health and the support benefits of berberine. But you can't just like buy any like street berberine. You're not going to be like Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Let's get some of that good old bridge berberine. You need like actual quality ingredients. And that's what this delivers. Super Barine, what they use with Super Barine is clinically studied to deliver nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. So this means that you have highly concentrated, easy to swallow capsules, and you just take one daily because of the concentration. Now, if you are concerned about berberine and GI distress, do not worry, do not fret. because the unique berberine in the superberine they use includes grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. So it's now at Sam's Club. So you can go and get your all big fountain drink and walk around and get your superberine to support the healthy metabolism and blood sugar. It's my favorite thing to do is get a big fountain drink and walk around with my cart. And it's less for less than a dollar a day. Plus, you can get $5 off the Super Beats Heart Juice through June 1st. One quick stop to support your heart health and take control of your overall metabolism health from the friends at Human.
Was this whole Doge thing the best idea? After trying to save the government trillions of dollars in spending, Congress is voting to only keep $9 billion of the Doge cuts. Are they totally insulting our intelligence?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little. And even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has durable, high-coverage paint for every job, every time. Made for more. Valspar. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about saving time and money on your next job with Valspar Signature Paint. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I saw this last night as I was getting ready to go to bed. And you guys know how I love thinking of, or like love asking my husband insane questions right before I go to bed. And then he's just like, would you just please stop talking? God, help me. Headline, scientist calculates, I wanted to know this, the size of a meatball made from the entire human race. I was shocked because I thought if you took all the people on the planet and you made us into one giant meatball, that it would be a huge meatball. It's not, though. I'm so disappointed. So if you made a meatball from the entire human race, it's absolutely weeny tiny. It's maybe 2.5 times as tall as New York's Empire State Building, maybe around three times the size of Paris's Eiffel Tower. It is actually tiny. For 7.8 billion people, that's what it would look like. That's it. That's all the people on Earth in one meatball.
So they're grinding this all up and putting this into a ball?
Well, I'm just saying, if you wanted to know this, you know, maybe trivia night or something.
That's interesting.
I can't believe this. Some people are like, are you okay? Is this, no. But think about it. Like, what would it be if we were all a meatball? There you go. There's your answer right there. I'm shooketh. Let's see here. This is interesting. Meta signed a nuclear power deal with Constellation to fuel AI. So Meta Platform, they signed this contract with Constellation Energy for emissions-free nuclear energy from the Clinton Clean Energy Center in Clinton, Illinois. The parent company announced that it entered into a 20-year purchase agreement with them so they can get emissions-free nuclear energy so they can support their operations. That's wild. We're turning into the Matrix. It's the Matrix. You're going to see people in pods and stuff being harvested. I'm saying. A giant plume of Saharan dust is headed for... It's not just headed to Florida. It's headed for a significant portion of the United States, and it's going to sweep into Texas as well. Dust is carrying it, winds carrying it across the Atlantic. It's a great wonder of the weather world, but it's headed our way in days. And it's going to be weird and bad for allergies. Stick with us, our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends over at All Family Pharmacy. They make it so easy to get the medications that you need. No gatekeeping by Big Pharma, no gatekeeping from the government as well. And there was an executive order signed on May 12th to lower prescription costs so we can stop paying more than other countries. And, you know, you deserve medicines for fair prices without totally egregious markups. All Family Pharmacy is offering a summer sale right now, 20% off of your entire order. And that's going to give you a little extra breathing room. And their prices are already affordable. First off, right now through June, they're offering 20% off site-wide. No insurance is required. I mean, they have licensed doctors in all 50 states. You get fast shipping right to your door. You can get your stuff in as little as 2 to 3 days overnight. If you're in a pinch, which I've absolutely done that, and they have come in clutch. And you can get everything that you need, your day-to-day medications, antibiotics, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, everything. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and enjoy 20% off using promo code Dana20. Do not wait for permission to protect yourself and your family. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, coupon code Dana20 to save 20%.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little. And even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has durable, high-coverage paint for every job, every time. made for more. Valspar. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about saving time and money on your next job with Valspar Signature Paint. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
Lowe's knows painting isn't just a project, it's your profession. And when buying in volume, savings matter. That's why my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get 20% off eligible brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot after your paint spend reaches $3,000. Lowe's, we help, you save. Excludes spray paint and mist tint. Discount applies to future qualifying paint purchases after $3,000 annual spend. Annual spend resets 1/1/26. More terms and conditions apply. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Solomon entered the U.S. 3 years ago on a tourist visa, but he has applied for asylum about a month later. And some asylum cases can take 6 years to process. So he was allowed to stay here and wait.
Nancy, what would have happened to Solomon under Trump's policies?
Well, the Trump administration, John, has raised the asylum threshold, so he could still enter the country on a tourist visa today, but he might not be allowed to even begin the asylum process. The Biden administration also granted him a temporary two-year work permit, so he was able to earn a living here in the U.S. while he waited for his asylum claim to be processed. And it's unlikely under Trump's immigration policies that he would have been granted that.
Oh, I bet that one reporter is the hardest hit. Hardest hit. Mer. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. And 347 is the stream. And you can also find us over at Rumbles, where the chat is for now. So this dude, the media, didn't seem to like it. They were discussing the immigrant status of him. This guy who was in the jihadi, who was in the country illegally. And I wanted to pull this story. This is it up here, too. There are a lot of these that are popping up now. And to go back to what we said with NBC, NBC had this tweet where they were saying that, well, we got lone wolf attacks on Jewish Americans in Boulder. It's not just in Boulder, D.C. It's in Michigan. It's in several other areas. But lone wolf, their focus, two things with this NBC piece. Number one, lone wolf attacks is an idiotic phrase, because if you have, guys, we got to talk about this like they're Sesame Street, okay? Oh. So if you have, old Sesame Street, not all like the transy, you know, teaching your kids about sexy times, Sesame Street. Imagine you have several different wolves, and the wolves are all doing the same thing. You wouldn't say, look at that lone wolf and that lone wolf. They're not lone wolves anymore. It's a pack. It's organized. So that's NBC's first mistake. Their second mistake is that they say, well, this actually highlights the difficulties in securing public spaces. No. Bless your sweet, sweetie little bitty hearts. No. No, the problem is you're not going to be able to secure any public space if you don't secure your terrorism issue. And they said lone wolf attacks. It's not lone wolves anymore. Okay. And securing public spaces. Well, you start with securing the border and securing what comes into the country that then trickles down to the public spaces. It's not rocket science. Okay, it's learning, understanding cause and effect. This guy, for instance, this story, they didn't even get mentioned. A Michigan terrorist. They said he was a Michigan anti-Semite. He was plotting to massacre kids at a Jewish daycare, and he tried to illegally buy guns after hurling threats at preschoolers. What do you think his name is, Kane? Do you think it's Timothy Anderson?
Oh, that sounds really American.
Do you think it's John Murphy?
That
I'm just saying this.
Really,
no, is the reason why is because if you have a name like this, and I don't care where you come from, I'm going to look at you different. His last name is Choker. Hassan Choker. Hassan Choker was out on bail when he drove through the parking lot outside of Detroit, shouted anti-Semitic slurs, and threatened parents and children. as they were dropping off of their kids. This was a couple of years ago in December. The reason it's back in the news is because his trial started. Why are you putting him on trial? Were you in the car? Yes. Were you the one threatening to kill kids? Yes. Are you a terrorist? Yes. Okay, then. Goodness. They said his attempted gun purchase was part of what authorities believe was a larger plot. He was going to follow through his menacing threats against parents and preschoolers as they were walking in. And I was also looking at the way he was trying to shoulder his gun, and he looks like a stooge. I mean, good night. Anyway, he drove to a gun shop after he went screaming about the Jews in Dearborn, his hometown, which some people call Little Mogadishu. And he tried to buy three guns, but the FFL was like, He also lied on his gun application. Don't charge him for that, because I was told you can't charge people for things like that because of Hunter Biden. I was told that. Who's the guy who was a Republican and he's on Fox now? What's his face?
Oh, Trey Gowdy.
Trey Gowdy. He was like, well, we can't charge Hunter Biden. That's just petty. Is it a crime or not?
Thank you.
Jiminy Christmas. And so, while awaiting the results of his background check when he was trying to buy his gun, Choker stated that, quote, it ain't a fair fight out there. And the guns, and then he said he was going to even the score. He's saying this at the gun store and said, even the playing field, I'm going to even the playing field real soon, brothers, real soon, according to court documents. The gun store owner heard this and was like, what? And he wasn't even waiting for the background check to come back. He's like, yeah, I can't sell you this. It did, and it came back and the guy was denied. So, you know, but FFLs have that discretion. And so they have him inside. And I mean, what, he's crazy. He's posted all kinds of stuff on Insta. He's not crazy. I don't think he's crazy. I think he's just a terrorist. I think he's an anti-Semitic terrorist. I don't think he's crazy. I think he's an evil POS. And he's only going to face up to 10 years in prison. He's wanting to kill people. He's only going to be in prison for 10 years. This is where I think that our penalties aren't strong enough. I actually think public executions, I'm not joking. I love the idea of public executions. And I think that people like this, I think it would benefit society for them, for all of us to be able to see their demise. That's one of my biggest gripes. Is that we took that away. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying this for the show. I actually truly wholeheartedly believe this. I really do. And you make a good point. Say the point that you just made about calling him crazy in Slack. This is a good point.
Calling him crazy would give him an insanity defense that he just does not qualify for.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. It's it's definitely... This is a major issue. It's a major issue. Can I also say, too, you hear the phrase the woke right a lot, and it's a real thing. I've been talking about this for years before this phrase came into vogue. I don't call it the woke right, though. It's just identity politics. There is this surge of belief within certain demos on the right. Where, and I've seen it on social media, where people are adopting this. It's not just like being critical of Israel's government. It's there. People are just like freely being anti-Semitic based on I have no idea what. It's a form of identity politics. When you play into identity politics, you're no different from the left. I've written about this endlessly. It is the exact same thing as the left does, but some people on the right like to think that they're somehow more virtuous because they identify as being on the right, but you're literally following the playbook of the left, and you're engaging in that cultural Marxism. This idea that some of the attacks on people who are Jewish and all the, and some of the words and the sentiments that are being shared, it's really weird. And I think all of this stuff here, all of it's coming together in a weird soup of uneasiness. I just don't like it. I mean, I've got a couple of other headlines with regards to this. We've got the Hassan Choker. I mean, just by the way, his name alone, seriously. The BBC, for instance, because I've been seeing a lot about this with people on the right, where they buy into everything that Pallywood, the Hamas entities, put out. So there was a story that came out where they said it was came out of Gaza. And it showed shootings at an aid distribution near Rafah. and oh my gosh, all these people were killed, etc. And basically it was, oh, can you believe Israel's just gunning these people down? Well, guess what? The BBC had to completely retract their story after they said, after they wrote these stories saying it was the IDF firing on Gazans at an aid site. It was entirely false. They did not retract it until 24 hours later, after it fed all of this insanity. It was entirely false. I saw people on the right reacting to this, buying into it. So it's just wild that this is, our Rumble stream went down, coincidentally, right as I was talking about this. Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Coincidence.
No, I don't believe in coincidences. I don't. I also think, are you comfortable with people in government agencies owning distribution platforms?
Government agencies?
Uh-huh. No, nor am I. I mean, no offense, but like when you're in the FBI, I think maybe you got to divest a little bit. Just saying. Dana, you can't say these things. They're unpopular. And also you'll get like suppressed further. I don't have enough middle fingers. I fought more evil. So anyway, I just think that's very all interesting. So the BBC ran this, and there were people on the right that went through it. People like Glenn Greenwald were believing this. Can I say something about Glenn Greenwald? Because I posted something about this last night on Substack. I'm not going to spend like any more than this on it. But I got to be real honest. People on the right, I get it that they're hard up for a messiah, even though they play into the cultural identity politics sometimes, and they ignore the one that we actually have that gives us grace from all of that. But whatever. Some people want to lock themselves into the plantation of that sort of thought slavery. I digress. There was a video of Glenn Greenwald who went full Hunter Biden. Don't watch it. I didn't watch it. I saw it fly by on X. He was on his hands and knees debasing himself with a male prostitute while there was an apparent meth pipe in the background on the bed behind him. And that came out over the weekend because he reposted it from his own X account. So I don't know where this whole people were leaking it out. He literally reposted it, whether it was by accident or what. It was quickly removed, but the internet's forever. I don't care how good of a journalist people think Greenwald is. I think he's kind of overrated. He's been dining out on the one scoop for like the better part of 10 years. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. There are a lot of people who are trying to ingratiate themselves with the click audience. And so they're like fawning him, then lavishing him with praise. But for the real, you know, he's been dining out on that same thing. I question the judgment of anybody who adopts / buys kids and then brings a male prostitute into their home where their kids live and then engages in risky behavior while recording it, while there's drugs involved, apparently, which he'd never denied. And he didn't deny it. I mean, I linked all this on my Substack. He was basically saying, oh, we'll ignore it, blah, blah, blah. Heterosexual parents would not get a pass for this type of behavior. And Glenn Greenwald should not get a pass for this type of behavior just because he's gay. It, you know, just because you're gay, it's not an inoculation from the consequences of any kind of idiotic, potentially child endangering behavior. And some were defending him by saying that the Jews leaked the video as retribution for the way he reported on Iran. I'm not kidding you. And if you follow that logic, that means, I guess, the Jews had to set up Greenwald's illicit tryst and then suspected drug use was entirely staged also by the Jews. Pre-report so the Jews could stockpile ammo as retribution for his reporting. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in the past 2 days, to be honest with you. It's almost as dumb as bringing a male prostitute into your home and romping around on camera with a suspected meth or crack pipe in the background. The right is not so short on independent journalists and thought leaders and talking heads that he's some sort of sacred cow whose illicit activities need defending, okay? For the sake of some sort of fake devotion to a principle that's not honestly shared. And I don't think that we should be in the market of infantilizing middle-aged men a la Hunter Biden by helping them dodge accountability. Having a big tent doesn't mean that pretending any of this is cool, because it's not. If you're screwing prostitutes and smoking dope in the house where you brought your young adopted kids, you're a garbage parent. You're a garbage person, gay or straight. So can everybody stop throwing themselves at the altar of wannabe popular and defending this? Thank you. We got a lot more on the way. It's always good to have diversity with your weapons array. I mean, for real, you carry different calibers, right? You have blades. This is for, I like to look at it like this, because I always carry a gun and I have zero issue. I seriously will sleep like a baby knowing I have the ability to use lethal force against anyone who decides to FAFO with me and my family's security and our lives. And so to that effect, there are some times when, you know, you are dealing with municipal restrictions and private property restrictions and all this other stuff. And as a result of that, you're disarmed and maybe you have zero protection. Well, you don't have to have zero protection. I mean, we all know the crime rate. This is where Burn a Gun comes in. And this is also a great idea for college students who are under the age of being able to carry a handgun but still live on their own. What it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. And they have several different versions. They have a rifle, but for this, you're going to look at the CL, which is the compact launcher, and the SD. CL's brand new. It's 38% smaller than the SD and even more compact. And the SD is their biggest selling one. Everything proudly made right here in the US of A. And it's legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks. There's no waiting permit. It can be shipped right to your door, and it doesn't care about stupid gun-free zone signs. And the thing is that with, like, stun guns and that, you maybe have, like, one or two rounds. But with the Byrna, you have five rounds. So this gives you an ability to protect yourself, an instrument with which to protect yourself when everything else is working against you to make you defenseless. Visit Byrna.com/Dana and check out the new Byrna CL, BYRNA.com/Dana. Byrna, ready when you are.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little. And even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has durable, high-coverage paint for every job, every time. Made for more. Valspar. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about saving time and money on your next job with Valspar Signature Paint. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
Lowe's knows painting isn't just a project, it's your profession. And when buying in volume, savings matter. That's why my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get 20% off eligible brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot after your paint spend reaches $3,000. Lowe's. We help. You save. Exclude spray paint and mist tint. Discount applies to future qualifying paint purchases after $3,000 annual spend. Annual spend resets 1/1/26. More terms and conditions apply. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Sands through the hourglass. So are the days of the United States.
With conservative political views, 51-45% when it comes to excellent versus poor. Yeah. And I don't think the Democrats would have expected that.
I don't know, man. I didn't need a poll to know they were unwell. Just drive around and see someone wearing a mask in their car. And you know who they're voting for, and you know they're not okay.
It's true. I mean, there was a study done on the happiness level. One thing I've noticed is a lot of people on the left are absolutely blanking miserable. They always have a grievance. Always have a grievance. Every day. Every day. And it's like more than just complaining about a little thing. Like Kane and I were just complaining about the weather right now because the storm's rolling in. And we're like, oh my gosh, our heads are going to blow off. Ah. It's more than stuff like that. It's like every day. Have you noticed this? They have an existential crisis. Every day. It is exhausting being these people. It's exhausting watching these people. David Mamet, who's going to be on the show tomorrow, this is what he compared Democrats to. Can we do that audio, somebody 22? Let's hit it.
And everything in the Democrats' playbook is denial, which takes all of a person's mental and energy. It's no different than a dysfunctional family. If you have a family and dad is a pedophile, the problem is not that dad is a pedophile, but the problem for everyone in the family is they have to deny that dad is a pedophile, because if they face it, the family as they know it is going to fall apart and they don't know what comes next. Mm. That's horrific. It's legitimate, but it's horrific. That's where the Democrats are now.
I mean, if anybody's going to get it, and David Mamet's been... he's been in the conservative camp for a long time. I've got his books on my bookshelf. I've read them. And I got to know him through my late employer and dear friend Andrew Breitbart, because Andrew knew David. And Pulitzer Prize winner, like an actual, legit, really good writer. So good with dialogue. He's so good with dialogue. which is the, I think it's the hardest thing to write, honestly, in of all the writing, I think it's dialogue to sound organic. Anyway, he gets it. And he, a lot of his focus and a lot of his themes and characters, it focuses on the working man. And he's always been an active participant, yet an observer in this. He really gets it. And he's right with this. And this is turning a lot of young men off. We're going to talk a lot about this. We got the latest with the bill. We got all kinds of stuff. Stick with us. Second hour is right on the way. Go nowhere. Nobody knows what's going to happen with our economy. We're apparently just going to add tons of debt and raise the debt ceiling. Who knows? All I know is this. Gold and silver have stood the test of time. For generations, smart investors turn to precious metals as a hedge during periods of economic instability. I'm one of them. I'm a smart investor, too, because I get it. They offer real security, hard assets. Right now, you can get the free 2025 gold and silver kit from Gold Co. They break down legit everything you need to know about how precious metals can fit into your financial strategy. And if you qualify, they'll match your investment with unlimited bonus silver, real actual physical silver, with no taxes and no penalties. It's all about being prepared. Don't panic. Just be prepared. Don't focus on the wrong P. Not panic. Be prepared and have confidence in uncertain times. Visit DanaLikesGold.com and join the thousands of people who have called Gold Co. the number one rated gold company. And you could get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. You could also qualify for and get unlimited bonus silver. It's DanaLikesGold.com.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little. And even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has durable, high-coverage paint for every job, every time. Made for more. Valspar. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about saving time and money on your next job with Valspar Signature Paint. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
.com.
It's time to finally unveil Alan's Monster Makeover!
Uncanny! Ellen looked just like Jonathan Van Ness.
Cookie Monster, that is Jonathan Van Ness.
Elmo, Cookie, are you ready to see my monster piece?
Ready, Jonathan!
Mama Bear, some runway music, please.
Oh, yeah.
People and monsters alike, a round of applause for the Not Too Late Show's newest monster, Alan. Ta-da! Monster is wearing the latest in high monster fashion with a set of sleek horns, fluffy fuzzy fur, all topped off with a monster honker.
I had to look at who this dude is. I have no idea. He's a pop for Kill Me Now. Anyway, it's just some dude. He's like an influencer. I really want to read what Steve put in Slack.
Because there are.
He goes, there's two. He caps locked two. T-W-O. There's two. I can't say that word, can I?
No, not that word.
Are you sure? Phallic.
Thank you.
Jokes in this clip. But he said the D word. Two. And then he caps locked it again and repeated it.
Why does it even need to throw in there? It's a Sesame Street clip.
Right. Right.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, do you want to see my monster piece? Like, oh yeah.
No.
Oh man.
No, I don't.
When you make Steve weird about it, that says a lot, you know. Not like Steve's a freak or anything, but you know, when you make Steve, like, it's a kid's show, you know?
Right.
Like, would you want your kids watching this? Would your nieces and nephews watching? No. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash, top of the second hour. Well, it's Gay Everything Month. Oh, I know, it was Memorial Day just a couple weeks ago. You get a day because apparently it's braver to talk about how much you like to have intercourse and how you like to do it. That's apparently braver. Our society. So where's the asteroid? Golly. So that was Sesame Street. What's the point of that? I mean, what do they think the point of it is? I mean, obviously, I'm sorry, that's grooming. You, because you're, here's why. You are showcasing something that's literally entirely about genitals. It's not a lifestyle of how you have sex. Look, I don't care what adults do. But when you start going to this level, the reason I think that Kane and I have such a major problem with this is, so we're Gen X. And yes, I'm on the younger end of the spectrum, but I'm not a millennial. And when we were young, growing up in the 90s, it was always behind closed doors. What someone does behind closed doors is not your business. Things like that, right? It was something that I don't remember it being this aggressively pushed like this in society. And I think that they're conflating, activists are conflating people having an issue with it being pushed so aggressively like this, even towards kids, and objection to what private individuals do in their own private time, right? I think there's a major difference, and they conflate it so that they can victimize themselves. Nobody loves victimizing themselves more than gay activists. I mean, they want to be the queens of all victims. And that's what I think, what's so hard for us to grasp, because that's literally all we heard growing up. Oh, behind closed doors, right? What happens behind closed doors? It's their business. It's not your business, whatever, whatever. And now it's like, no, no, no. Not only do you have to accept it, but you have to applaud it, cheer it, and all of that. That is way different from how we were raised. You know, like, I don't sit here and go out and be like, oh, I shouldn't say this. You know what I mean? Like, we don't sit here and talk about the stuff that we do.
Right.
Because, no, manners. And also, nobody cares, right? Nobody cares. I don't know why gay activists think that they have to, and then they get upset, like, what do you mean we can't talk about penises with your child? Well, that's not appropriate. Why do you hate gay people? Well, that's not what we're talking about. You're conflating everything. It's just weird, and it's aggravating and annoying. And you don't need to be doing this for kids. If you do this with kids, you can't get offended if we're being called a groomer, because that's what you are. It's messed up. This is messed up. Yeah, take it back in the closet. Go back in the closet. Get the hell back in there. I was telling Kane, a friend of mine, I don't want to out them. Well, I mean, you know, like, you know, publicly. But they consider themselves a gay conservative. And a couple of years ago, they got stuck in traffic because gay activists blocked the road. And they recorded themselves leaning out of their car screaming, why can't you just be normal, F.A., you know? Why can't you just be normal and go do normal FA stuff? Like, and they were mad because they were made late to work. It's the whole thing is I don't understand what the protest is, what all of this is about. And like, you have to have a whole month of this. And now what, the activists are mad because Target was like, the rainbow stuff isn't selling. Let's put the flag stuff in its place. And now they're all mad, as though like USA merchandise is somehow is not inclusive of gay people. I don't get it. But this is about when you're roping the kids into it. This isn't about acceptance. This is about brainwashing at this point. And these kids don't understand these concepts. I think it's abusive. They don't understand these concepts. Kane had video. They shut this road down. What is this? It's on our audio list, right? They shut this road down. I can't say what they were chanting, can I? Well, wait, if I can't say what they're chanting,
what they're chanting,
that is so lame.
But maybe
it's news. So they said that, well, no, I can't say that.
No.
They did say honk if you love strippers, which I have no idea what that has to do with gay activist protests. I don't know. But they had an ambulance in Minneapolis. They had to do a detour because there were a group of people in thongs that blocked the road. And they created a blockade. It's the Grain Belt Bridge. It was blocked for over 25 minutes during rush hour. And they blocked the bridge. And it was activists that were like in thongs. And they were screaming. I can't say something. They said, we love this and we love that. I can't say any of those things on air. And then they said something about strippers, which I don't even understand what that was about. And And I don't know. I don't know.
I have a question.
Yes, Kane.
What if someone dies as a result of their ambulance being blocked by these thong-wearing protesters? Who do they hold accountable at that point? Who's held accountable?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to say the activist, but you know, we all know apparently that's never going to happen. Blocking traffic. Aren't they supposed to be to attract sympathy and support? Yes. Isn't that what protests are for? So how did we go from that to protests are just about making everybody mad? I don't care what if you are protesting against clubbing baby seals and you block me in rush hour traffic, I will literally come out and club a baby seal to death myself as a protest against your protest.
No, you won't.
Oh, hell yes, I will.
No.
To hell with the seals at that point. Done with it. I mean, you can say that I can't, but I physically can. Whatever it is, if you're like, we don't want to shoot kittens out of a cannon and we're going to block traffic, we're protesting against shooting kittens out of a cannon. We're going to block traffic. I'm going to shoot a kitten out of a cannon now to spite you because you blocked me in rush hour traffic. You're not engendering sympathy for your cause. That's the whole point. You know, I mean, think about like in the 60s and, you know, the peaceful protests at lunch counters. And when you would see what individuals endured, you know, it was a nonviolent protest. You would have sympathy and support that generated for that. And that's normally how protests go. You're not supposed to just tick off everybody that you're trying to get support from. But I feel like these are remedial people we're dealing with here. They're not the brightest activists out there. They really aren't. So it's rainbow everything right now. The gay everything. It's the gay everything month. Again, Memorial Day gets a day. Veterans Day gets a day. But, you know. And then they did Air Canada. Can we talk about Air Canada for a minute? Oh, my gosh. It's the Terrence and Phillip airline. Okay, I need to read this tweet that they put up because I don't understand this at all. Okay, so actually we might need Juan to literally show the tweet because I don't even know how to read this. It says, our first all minus 2S LGBTQIA plus flight. Okay, first off, what is that? Oh gosh, do I want to Google this? I don't want my algorithm to show me a bunch of gay stuff now. It doesn't even recognize it. I don't even know what this is. Why is it a minus 2SL?
What?
I don't know. It's just what it says. So minus 2SLGBTQIA plus flight was a heartfelt celebration reflecting our unwavering commitment to inclusivity and equality in the air and on the ground. Can you fly the damn plane? That's all we care about. You know, are you able to fly the plane? See, this is the Air Canada thing. Watch.
It was a bit of a range of emotions this morning coming here and getting dressed for this flight.
C'est un moment historique qu'on vit aujourd'hui. J'ai trouvé ça une bonne initiative pour la communauté entière. Je suis comme un petit thrill de faire le vol aujourd'hui. J'ai là supporté ma fille, une de mes quatre enfants est dans la communauté.
Okay,
it's a friendship on purpose.
Une occasion de supporter encore plus. J'ai mis mon nom tout ça.
We are doing the first ever, now let me get that one straight because a few letters have been added to this one, 2S LGBTQIA plus flight ever in Canada.
What
to identify
2S?
With the progress flag.
Two-spirit.
There's something in there
That's
that
not,
represents
oh
me as well. So it was a bit of joy having the opportunity to do this flight today.
Okay, can you fly the plane? You know, I don't care. Can you fly the plane? Can you fly the plane? That's all I care about.
Did you cover your mouth?
I did.
Okay, good.
No, but I like to go to bed with the men. Okay, but that's... Are you going to be at, like, if we run into a bird, can you fly it out? Yeah, Lorraine says that's two-spirit. I still don't even understand what that... That means you're possessed. That's possession. You've got a devil.
We're gonna fly the plane.
What? Yes, you're LGBT.
Into spirit.
That's what that means. Just, I'm just curious why there's so much emphasis on that and not, you know, other thing. Now, Dez Bryant over the Dallas Cowboys, a lot of people were criticizing him, and they just need to shut up their mouths. He slammed the NFL as a gay pride post resurfaced. So it was an older post from 2021. It was a 30-second video. Remember the video where they're like, football is gay, football is lesbian, football is beautiful, football is queer, football is transgender, football is for everyone, blah, blah, blah. And he had said, these are wild statements to make. And he goes, I'm going to proudly tell my boys that football is none of these things. I have nothing against gays, but this is far from right. Go Dez Bryant. Yes. And he's right. That was a stupid thing that they put out. And of course, you know, the activists immediately, they're like, gay people are persecuted. Well, shut up. No, they're not. You know where they're being persecuted? In Gaza. Oh, what? On a lot of these countries that you think are so much better, and a lot of these nations that aren't their own countries that you think are so much better than the United States, all of the people out there with the picnic blankets and the Gazan flag that think that they wouldn't be thrown off a roof the second they landed. Come on. The partners that help bring us the program. It's our friends over at Angel Studios. There's a lot of stuff out there in Hollywood that's just no good. I mean, it's really difficult to find anything good to watch anymore. Or anything that's not super ridiculously woke or interspersed with an insane political message. There are a lot of people out there that Hollywood's ignored, and so Angel Studios exists to help make films and help make content for this audience. So, for instance, they have a new movie out called The King of Kings. You can stream it. It is based on Charles Dickens's book, The Life of Our Lord, and it's about the life of Jesus, and it's inspired by that book. It has an all-star cast. You have Kenneth Branagh, you have Uma Thurman, Pierce Brosnan. There's a lot of really big names in it. It received an A-plus cinema score and 98% audience rating, and it's a record-breaking animated faith-based film. Now, when you join Angel Studios' Guild and become a premium member, you can watch The King of Kings and you can stream all fan-curated shows and movies and get 2 free tickets to every Angel Studios theatrical release. So visit angel.com/Dana. Join over 1 million Americans taking back control of entertainment. Become a premium Angel Studios Guild member to watch The King of Kings, stream all fan-curated shows and movies, and get 2 free tickets to every Angel Studios theatrical release. It's angel.com/Dana.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little, and even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has durable, high-coverage paint for every job, every time. Made for more. Valspar. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about saving time and money on your next job with Valspar Signature Paint. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
South Korea elected its next president after a crazy election season where they had a martial law fallout and everything else. The winner of the snap election determines how they approach trade talks and everything else. In terms of Mount Etna, the eruption, I cannot get over the people who are literally on the side of Mount Etna taking videos right now. Like, did you? There's literally like up on the boot right up there. There's a little town called Pompeii. I don't know if you've ever been up there, but they're Mount Etna. The highest active volcano in Europe has been erupting since Monday. Tourists are seen running down the slopes. Huge plumes of smoke rose in the sky. They said that there was a Strombolian explosion of growing intensity. It's a code red for aviation, according to the Volcanic Ash Advisory Center in Toulouse, which I didn't even know was a thing. It's safe to travel there, but they said flights right now are operating as normal. But, you know, just be aware because they're not having, you know, tons of lava go down there. Just be aware. Also, let's see. Consumers are financing their groceries. We've talked a little bit about that before. That's a sad thing. I mean, it tells you a lot about...
It's been going on since Biden.
Yeah, it's been going on since Biden for sure. Also, this, oh my gosh. So did you guys hear about the Sarko suicide pod? Well, apparently an activist who watched one and promoted it killed himself. Oh. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. We're talking THC coming up What's happening in Texas? Stick with us. It's our friends at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And Patriot Mobile not only wants to save you money, but they understand you want to be mindful of how you spend your money. And you don't want to spend it with companies that undermine your values. So this is where Patriot Mobile comes in. You get exceptional nationwide coverage. They operate on all three major networks, so you're connected wherever you go. It's very easy to make the switch, and you can keep your number in your phone or get entirely new everything. It's up to you. But it's super easy to switch with their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. And your money isn't going towards empowering the things that you vote against at the ballot box. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code DANA. Switch today and defend freedom with every call and text you make. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or 972-PATRIOT.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little. And even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has durable, high-coverage paint for every job, every time. Made for more. Valspar. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about saving time and money on your next job with Valspar Signature Paint. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wanting to protect children, but you have grown adults who are using these products too. Is there a way to do this where grown adults could still have access to these products?
Well, we don't want adults having this either. What are you, crazy? You want to go home and eat a bag of this tonight? See if you're here tomorrow? This is what we focus on, kids. Because that's where they built the shops. But adults are buying this stuff too. Make no mistake. We want to protect the 20 and the 30 and the 40 and the 50-year-olds too. We don't want anybody buying anything off the shelf that can kill them or ruin their mental state for the rest of their life.
Okay, so we talked a little bit. That was Dan Patrick last week. And, you know, we here in Texas, and Dan Patrick is the lieutenant governor of the great Republic of Texas. And we could have had property tax relief. We pay higher property taxes than California does in Texas. It's insane. Higher property tax in California. We're right up there with New York. We wanted some property tax relief. There's several other things that we wanted too. Best we can do, said Dan Patrick, pawn store style, is we can pay in some THC. Now, what's weird about this is that they made it legal, and then businesses were built, and they began selling a very strictly regulated product. And then now it reminds me of the pistol brace rule, where the ATF went out and was like, yeah, you can have pistol braces, and people made pistol braces. And then the ATF comes back and is like, yeah, nope, never mind. Change your mind. Y'all are felons now. We're not doing pistol braces, and get ready to go to jail. So I feel like it's the exact same bait and switch that they did with this THC stuff. And we've talked about this bill, and I don't care if you don't have to be a consumer. I'm not a consumer. But I also don't trust my government, and I don't understand why the government is decided to do this in Texas, and it just is real sus to me. And I question the motives of every single person that's flipped on this. I question the motives of Dan Patrick. I question his donations. And I just leave people alone. Give property tax relief and stop doing this like boomer reefer madness. I mean the bad boomers. Don't send me hate mail. I'll run over it with my kids' power wheels and then shoot some buckshot through it. You know, and doing all this like stupid reefer madness with it. So joining us right now, and he's been on the program before, he's a friend of the show, and he's a business owner. He's a veteran and he's a business owner. And this is, you know, this is going to affect him directly, not just his consumers. John Burke, who is an entrepreneur. He also hosts the All American Savage show, and he owns Shell Shock CBD, where you can go shellshockcbd.com. And that's been in operation since, I think, 2019. He joins us now on the Senate Bill 3, which now heads to Greg Abbott's desk for his signature. And a lot of people are asking him to veto it. John, that's my first question to you. First off, it's good to see you. Do you think that Greg Abbott is going to veto this, though?
That's a really good question. Honestly, I think Abbott, first of all, nobody asked for this bill. I mean, you're plugged into Texas politics more so than I am. Did you see anything?
No.
In the coffer, as far as, or in the
literally everything in the cash, that I've been watching is about property tax and guns. And this, all of a sudden, boom, was out of nowhere.
Yeah. Number one, if you look at the THC market and just say the capital of Austin, and you look in there and you see the side-by-side comparison of THC drinks that are being sold there to alcohol, THC is destroying the alcohol industry. There's your reasoning right there. But as far as what Abbott's going to do, I think Abbott is going to, this is just, I'm guessing, I hope he vetoes it. I hope Abbott is listening to enough Texans signing the petition, getting out there, making their voices heard. Texans don't want this. But I think Abbott, quite honestly, is going to ignore it. And hopefully this kind of does not cause any friction points between he and Dan Patrick, because Dan Patrick is basically the guy who really wants us to go. We had, Representative Perry in Texas's, I forget which district it is. He was the one that I think helped push this bill in the State Affairs Committee and the Senate. And he preached this idea of morality. And I think that's rich, because I think this guy's the same dude that has a restraining order against him from a stripper. So I'm tired of these boomer conservative Republicans coming to us with their legislative morality. And I think Abbott is basically going to ignore it. And hopefully it'll just pass into law. It won't be a pocket veto. Some people were saying that's what happened. That's at federal level in the state of Texas. We don't do pocket veto. So I think Abbott's going to try and withhold. He hasn't mentioned anything about it. I think if he was going to veto it, he would do it now. He'd make himself vocal about it. But he hasn't said a word about this. And I also want it noted that my representative, Katrina Pearson, who just got elected, she was absent. So good job standing for veterans. And I've reached out to your office many times.
How can you be absent for that?
The same ones that'll sit there and they'll hold the veterans. Oh, we're for veterans. We do everything for veterans. Well, when a bill came before Congress and we were there, Dana, I went up there both times into Austin to testify before the House, before the Senate. Nowhere. Like, I went to her office and I said, hey, you know, this is what's going on. I spoke to one of her workers, one of her staffers, and he assured me, he's like, we're going to read this thing through. And she was absent. Didn't even show, like, you didn't even vote no. You just said, I don't want to get my hands dirty. Now, I've reached out respectfully. I've tweeted her out. Haven't received a response. And I think it's time that more people started paying attention instead of just federal level into state level. Yeah. You saw what's going on in the Texas legislature. Where's the property tax cuts, Dana? That was like the number one thing that we wanted was property tax, and we didn't get it.
Yeah. Now these people are going to like come around for hands out for donations and support. Talking with John Burke, by the way, you're right on that. That I found that article.
I love hearing that.
The stripper in Oklahoma that filed for a protective order. Against
every single
Senator
one of these
Charles
boomer politicians,
Perry, like, Lubbock, Texas.
We got to do the Christian things.
Yes, I want that. Well, and can I just touch on that for a moment? Because the people who are like, well, let's
strippers,
look at the moral reality of this. Okay, so they're going for a ban on all alcohol, right? And they're going to go ban all wine and all liquor. I mean, let's, you know, to be consistent, because I don't see the consistency. And I think that law without consistency is stupid. The consistency is part of the strength of the law. You mentioned the THC and drinks, which now don't make fun of me. I'm a Martian on this. I literally just like found out within the past 6 months that you could drink it. I didn't even know. I had idea.
You represent,
that makes so much sense
you
with
represent,
alcohol now.
Yeah. You represent my demographic. If I had not been involved in this business, I wouldn't know either. But you're getting older. Like, and I'm not trying to divulge your personal information, but when you go out, are you drinking as much anymore?
No, I have like a little wine with dinner. Yeah.
There it is.
I never have been, though. I was never a big drinker. But I do like wine with red meat. Red wine and red meat.
Wait, you grew up emo, so you were doing other stuff. Like, you were doing other stuff. We talked about. No, I'm playing.
No, I never did. That's the crazy thing. I haven't. But I just don't. I am so much of an anti-authoritarian, and especially after COVID, I don't want my government telling me anything, especially when they go out and do press conferences where some of the stuff that he said, John... I swear to you, I think I heard like if you eat one of these gummies, you're going to die of brain AIDS or something.
We're
like
storming
that.
The
like,
beaches of Normandy, Dana. This bag of gummies.
You'll walk in front of a train and die. Wouldn't you drink alcohol and get hit by a train, though, too? I mean,
it's always the kids. If they cared so much about the kids, all you have to do is just regulate this. And this is what the business owners
are
calling
for. Well, they are, aren't they?
Well, before it was, it kind of flip-flopped. There were some amendments made, amendments withdrawn. And before, we were kind of like, look, just regulate it. All the business owners that showed up said, yes, over 21 to purchase. You have to just like alcohol. Can't consume it in public. Can't drive. 100%. And the problem becomes non-existent.
What is the argument that they have? I don't mean to interrupt you, but something you made me think of. What is this argument that they keep making where they're like, oh, well, they're advertising to kids? I have never seen this.
This is, again, it's the safety of the kids. The kids is the crux. It's the foundation of their argument. And it's been debunked time and time again. Number one, you can literally Google THC or you can ChatGPT it. How many people have died? Zero. Yeah. Zero kids. Advertising to THC, you talk about like they talk about the flavoring. You mean like bubblegum flavored vodka? You mean stuff like that that's also for sale? So they kind of pitch it to where that if it's appealing to children, well, there is a color combination when it comes to sales. Go Google the top five colors that you put on your packaging to appeal to adults. Now, you could make the claim it's trying to go after kids. Fine. But the banks that we have to utilize, a lot of them will not touch CBD or THC. And even they're like, they've restricted about three of our products that we will not sell that because it looks too-ish. Because we had one called Doritos. Instead of Doritos, it's Doritos that you eat when you get the munchies. And that apparently was appealing to children. So it was kind of like, okay, I get that. So the banks kind of have their own way of doing it as well.
Well, we're the parents, though, also. Because I feel like everybody's talking about the government and the banks and everything else. It's like, if your kid is like drinking underage and doing any kind of drug and they're a kid, then, you know, can you assess your job as a parent? Because you're a crap parent then. So why are we doing these, creating these insane, stupid laws that are going to open a Pandora's box for a whole bunch of other formulaic variations to go after people's rights?
Mm-hmm. It's. I think the number, again, it's like 50,000 jobs that'll be axed. It's going to be over 8,000 businesses. And this is, like I said, something that people have not called for. But to my other point, though, the reason that you don't know a lot about this, Dana, and our generation by and large, is because there's a transition shift coming now. People that I just turned 41 and I consume THC. I microdose it. I think it's a godsend for things for, again, people that can't sleep, people that have hypervigilance, paranoia, things like that have been brought on from combat. But people are tired of going out there and spending $200 to $300 on a weekend or a night on the weekend to drink booze, wake up feeling horrible. When you can buy a $30 dangerous gummies from Dan Patrick that'll kill you, apparently. It's like, just drop some of these and
to this
the whole
point,
neighborhood's gone.
I can't tell you, so I'm not going to divulge. I'm not calling anybody in my family out, but there are members of my family that do exactly what, and they're not, some of them are veterans and some of them are not. And they don't like, they really don't like alcohol as much. But as they've gotten older, they don't really like alcohol. And so they do what you're talking about. They microdose with that. But then I've also heard from a ton of veterans, and I don't, you know, I don't know their experiences and I don't claim to speak for them, but they, the stories that I've heard, like when people are coming out of the military and everybody apparently has a prescription for like an opioid or some kind of, you know, pharmaceutical that is all about dealing with anxiety or depression, and they don't want to be hooked on that and they don't want to have the side effects that go along with it. And so this is an alternative to help them acclimate back to civilian life. I don't know how anybody can, I don't know how anybody who claims to care about veterans can speak against the issue from a point of such ignorance that I saw demonstrated at that press conference.
Oh, 100%. You had the Allen police chief go up there and completely and blatantly lie to everybody. I had to call him out. It's like, the things that you're saying, even the representatives are talking about, like, well, if we legalize it, the crime is going to be increased. It's like, it's been legal since 2019. Yes, I asked them all.
No crime,
and the House State of Affairs, like, has crime increased? And they're like, no, not for us. Like, so then where is this coming from? So, again, it's just this, it's constantly just thrown back into our face with just lie after lie after lie after lie. We saw it in both houses. There were nonstop lies told. And so for anyone that disagrees with veterans being able to self-treat with THC, why is it then okay for them to be treated with opioids that have been proven to have massive side effects, lots of addictions? And Dana, we're talking about veterans that are coming out there and they're on three different medications and they have the side effects they have to take two medications for. They're on so many pills. So a shell shock CBD, we get them off the pills. Now I can't guarantee that for everybody. I'm not a doctor, but these are natural things that it's no different than fermenting a grape and getting alcohol. It's no different than pulling the THC from hemp or the cannabis plant and microdosing and treating and putting yourself in a good mood. And it's also, again, it's amazing for, you know, anti-inflammatory. CBD is wondrous for that. And people are ignorant to this. So we're trying to educate people
and, this goes after
and bring
CBD
them out of the reefer
as
madness.
Well, doesn't it? This bill goes after CBD as well, right?
It's going to leave CBD alone, but it's still going to destroy the businesses because a lot of those businesses have now incorporated the Delta 8 and Delta 9. And Delta 8 and Delta 9 are just THC, same chemical compounds found in hemp and the cannabis plant. All the difference is the federal bill of 2018 said you cannot pull it from cannabis, but it didn't say anything about hemp. So when Abbott passed this, they knew this. So they said you can, they didn't say it. They kind of left it open to interpretation, but you can pull those same chemical compounds from hemp and then kind of blow them up a little bit. That's not a synthetic. You can synthesize using a chemical process, which is the only way to get it. But outside of that, they likened it to K2 spice, which that is a man-made synthetic. There's nothing real about it. That's different. So when they went up there and they said, oh, it's like K2 spice, it is nothing like K2 spice. This is the actual organic chemical compounds found in the hemp plant that we just extract and put into a gummy. That's literally it.
And this isn't about smoking marijuana. It's not about any of that. It's not about, I think there are a lot of people that are conflating the issues. This is literally about, from what I read, the consumable aspect of it. I wanted to point this out. Yeah. The fatalities in 2023, between 2014 and 2023 in Texas, were nearly 40% of traffic fatalities were because of alcohol. in Texas. So if this is about saving lives, then where's their consistency? And I question the donations that a lot of these people are getting. There's a lot of big special interests, big alcohol, big weed, that are absolutely donating to see some results, whether it's state level or the federal level. Last question 100%. Before we talk to our friend John Burke. What would you say to Dan Patrick? If you could say anything to him directly, what would you say to Dan Patrick about all this?
Debate me live. Let's have a good old fashioned drag out, knockdown debate. Let's debate this. I mean, it doesn't really matter though anymore at this point, Dana. It's on the governor's desk and we're going to see what he does. But here's the crazy thing. Representative King stood on the House floor and even said, even if it's banned, they can still get it online. This ban actually helps my business, but I don't agree with it. I'm like you. I don't believe in prohibition because ultimately you have consumers. Say like they banned this in the state of Texas. Now you're either going to get your THC from the black market, which is not regulated. You don't know what's in it. You could have fentanyl. You don't know. Or you're going to go online where there's businesses that actually do regulate it. And we also prove proof of testing. So don't forget to use code BoomerDan from ShellShockCBD.com. I got to plug it.
There you go. I don't like the guy, especially I think everybody needs to learn the lesson, particularly after COVID. My gosh, I just can't believe to see people doing this and just, yes, let the government and these people that get up there and they know nothing what they're talking about. It's like listening to Joe Biden lecture about guns. John Burke, we'll revisit this when we see what Greg Abbott does. But I hope that Governor Abbott, I'd like to be able to support him in his future endeavors. And this is going to be an obstacle if he chooses to.
Thanks for speaking on this, Dane. I appreciate it. A lot of people are kind of turning a blind eye to it because they don't want to get their hands dirty with the marijuana or the devil's lettuce. But this is something that
it's about consistency.
Advance.
And you don't, like I tell people, you don't have to own a firearm or shoot. And you don't have to consume this to be consistent where it concerns individual rights versus the state. And that's what it's all about. John Burke, the website that you can go to, shellshockcbd.com. Give them that promo code again.
Boomer Dan, 25% off your first purchase from us.
There you go right there. Shellshockcbd.com. Good to see you, John. God bless. We'll talk again soon. Summer is all about making great memories. Backyard barbecues, road trips, lake days, even just relaxing in a hammock with a good book. Spending time with friends and family, catching sunset views. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. It's kind of hard to enjoy the simple moments when you're in pain. So here's a thought. Try Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made with natural ingredients. And unlike pain meds that just mask it, Relief Factor works to reduce, even eliminate your pain for good. So whether you're spending time at the lake or chasing your kids or grandkids or just enjoying a summer stroll, Relief Factor can help you feel better, move better, and do more of what you love. Reclaim your summer. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF to get the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little.
And even a little.
And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has durable, high-coverage paint for every job, every time. Made for more. Valspar. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about saving time and money on your next job with Valspar Signature Paint. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man was he got in trouble because he apparently was scamming elderly people out of money while already behind bars for scamming elderly people out of money. A 92-year-old dude from Sun City Center, Florida, is out $800,000. He got catfished by a 37-year-old dude who's behind bars. People have got to be O.T. Swinton. He was arrested. He's been charged with multiple accounts of fraud. And this has happened like a million. People have got to be so careful with this stuff. Oh, my gosh. You can't. I get so worried about these scams. And, you know, a Florida woman deputy resigned after she was arrested for evading and driving a motorcycle with a fake tag that read Chase 'em 3.
Chase me.
Oh, sorry. Chase 'em. Is that? Yeah. Chase me. It looks like Chase 'em 3. Chase me. Well, they did, and they arrested her, and she went to the pokey. Just saying. We got a lot more on the way. Third hour coming up. Stick with us. Hey, folks. So I want to share something important that every American should be aware of. We're seeing a lot of economic uncertainty right now. You have the national debt rising. global trade tensions impacting markets and tariffs with higher prices on the stuff that everybody uses every day. It's not about panic. It's about preparation. So this is why I partnered with GoldCo, the top-rated precious metals company, to help you take a step towards protecting your financial future. Smart investors look to hard assets like gold and silver to help weather the storm. It's a strategy that's been used for generations. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit that breaks it all down for you. And if you qualify, you could receive unlimited bonus silver, real silver, matched to your account with no taxes or penalties. It's a smart move that could help you feel more secure with what lies ahead. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to get started. That's DanaLikesGold.com and move forward with confidence.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little. And even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has durable, high coverage paint for every job, every time. Made for more. Valspar. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about saving time and money on your next job with Valspar Signature Paint. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
And something that just crossed, Caroline, how mad do you think President Trump is going to be when he finds out that Elon Musk said, "I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it anymore. This massive, outrageous, pork-filled congressional spending bill is a disgusting abomination. Shame on those who voted for it. You know you did wrong. You know it."
Look, the president on this bill, it doesn't change the president's opinion. This is one big, beautiful bill, and he's sticking to it.
Yeah, it's not beautiful. It is one big bill, though, but it's not beautiful. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And Elon Musk is 1,000% correct. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour. He is 1,000% correct. And he tweeted out, let me pull up his tweet. Quote, "I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it anymore. This massive, outrageous, pork-filled congressional spending bill is a disgusting abomination. Shame on those who voted for it. You know you did wrong. You know it." And he's right. Thankfully, somebody can say it. You know, what are people going to now go and try to cancel Elon Musk now? He's exactly right. They're only Republicans pretend to be fiscally responsible and fiscally conservative when they're not in control of Congress. When they're in control of Congress, they spend like drunken, well, they spend like Hunter Biden. Yep. They turn into Hunter Biden whenever they are in office. And, you know, this needs to be said. I'm not going to be, look, you can like Trump and still think that this bill is garbage, and it's correct. And even, and Massey tweeted, he's right. And Musk retweeted, well, yeah, simple math. It is. They're right. Thomas Massey is correct. Rand Paul is correct. And I got, and for the people who say that, well, where are their ideas? Have you not paid attention? No offense, but if you're asking that, you need to pay more close, you need to pay better attention. Because in committees, they have been fighting to reduce spending, offering amendment after amendment, proposal after proposal, and it is shot down every damn time. It never makes it out of committee because it's fiscally responsible. Republicans don't have the balls for the austerity that they promised you during the campaign season. They all lied to you. And I don't know why anybody out there, any of you watching or anyone driving by, would defend it. Your job is to keep these people honest and not run defense for them when they lie to you. If you are defending this bill after being lied to about it, why? Because all of it, none of this, not a single damn thing in this bill accomplishes what you wanted. Not even the tax cuts are permanent. I wrote a whole piece, a very, very big deep dive. And you don't have to take my word for it. What you can do is when you go to chapter and verse, go down to the title "From a Chainsaw to a Nail File." Read the post, but there's a link in there that goes to all of the stuff that's in the bill. And it's hyperlinked, and you can click on that link. And then what you do is there's a way with a Mac, you can hit Control F, and then there's a little bar that pops up. And what you want to do is write "temporarily" in that bar and then hit Enter. And then it's going to show you, it's going to go right to where it says all these new tax cuts are. Every single one of the tax cuts, it says temporarily, 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 temporarily. It has a 4-year limit. that expires conveniently right when we are running into the next presidential cycle in 2028. And the reason that was done is because instead of cutting spending to control the cost, they decided to cut your tax cut to control the cost. They didn't cut spending. They limited how much money of your own hard-earned dollars you get to keep. They did that to try to fudge the score that they wanted from the CBO. Now, when you hand something to the CBO, Congressional Budgetary Office, the CBO looks at just exactly what you gave it. It doesn't go, now, wait a minute. These tax cuts are temporary. They expire in 2028. I mean, all of it, the child tax credit, the standard deduction increase, any new deductions, the no tax on tips. Oh, yeah, that's all temporary. The CBO doesn't look at that and go, oh, well, you know, they fudged this here and they limited these tax cuts only for 4 years so that they could get a better score out of us. They just look at that at just the basic math of it, and then they give you the score. So it's like AI. It only feeds back what you prompt it. It's wholly unreliable, really. You have to know how they're trying to game it so that you know how to interpret it. That being said, they get the score that they want, and then they can parade it through the streets. Oh, look, 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 look. Look, it comes in at this much. It's only this much. But they're also raising the debt ceiling in this. We're adding to the debt. It's insane. I would be lying to your face if I said this was a big, beautiful bill. If I told you that, you should want to boycott my program, because I would be lying to you just right to your face. And I'm not doing that. It's a very unpopular thing to be consistent, especially in a society that rewards inconsistency. There's no accountability for it. The pendulum has gone one way to the other. There was too much accountability that even people who didn't do anything got dinged, and now it's hyper accountability. But there's accountability, though. And this whole thing, this bill is just, it's a hot mess. Like I've told you, all of the expirations mean that the CBO score only reflects the revenue loss for the years these cuts are in place. That's it. Now, you know, the press secretary can criticize the CBO and say they're partisan and political. And my response is, if you're just now saying this, you haven't been paying attention for the entirety of politics. The CBO can be gamed either way. The CBO is chaotic neutral. It, like with Obamacare, Democrats fed the CBO through their proposal a certain formula so that they could get the score that they wanted. Remember, what was it? They wanted it to come in under $1 trillion. And they basically lied their... Isn't that what it was, Kane?
Yeah.
So they lied their backsides off. They fed the CBO only what they wanted the CBO to know. They gamed the numbers, and the CBO was like, oh, yeah, it comes in under $1 trillion. Republicans did the same thing. So if Republicans are going to be mad and say that the CBO, if the press secretary is going to be mad and is going to go after the CBO, well, yeah, the Republicans game it just like the Democrats do. That's why the score on this is such pig feces. It's chaotic neutral. The CBO is not really, I mean, you can say it's partisan, but it's partisan depending on whose hands it's in, depending on what you're feeding it. Does that make sense? So, like I said, when they're trying to get this score for, like with Obamacare, they lied about the excise taxes and all this stuff in order to get to try to fudge that it was coming in under $1 trillion. With this, they also did this with the 2001 Bush tax cuts. Republicans gamed the CBO to get a certain score, just like they're gaming the CBO now to get a particular score for this bill. So they can say, oh, but it's under this amount, or it's only adding this much. Well, the only reason they're getting it is because they're limiting how much of your hard-earned dollars you get to keep. They're limiting the tax cuts. That's how they got this score. They're not cutting the spending. They're raising the damn debt ceiling so they can spend more. They would rather spend more. Look at this. Think about it this way. If they were really going to be fiscally responsible, why wouldn't they spend less and cut your taxes without raising the debt ceiling? The fact that they're even raising the damn thing tells you everything. Your taxes are not going to get cut, and these tax cuts will never be made permanent. You were told in 2017, after the passage of the tax cuts then and the Jobs Act, you were told that those were going to be made permanent within the year, and they weren't. Then you were lied to again and told they were going to be made permanent in the next year. You had 2017, 2018, 2019, going all the way up into the 2020 election, and not a single damn time did any of the Republicans, including the times that they were running the Senate and the House, not a single damn time did they actually work and fight to make that permanent. Just like not a single damn time did they ever work to actually repeal Obamacare. They never had any intention of doing it. Why would anyone in their right mind roll over to another slate of promises that these people are making when you know and I know they have no intention of fulfilling them? None. Elon Musk is 1,000% correct. Thomas Massie is 1,000% correct. Rand Paul is 1,000% correct. It's not MAGA to spend. It's not MAGA to raise the debt ceiling. And it sure as hell isn't MAGA to promise tax cuts and tease everybody with it and then limit them to 4 years so that you can fudge a CBO score, raise the debt ceiling, and spend more. Now, they come back and they say, oh, but Dana, the DOGE cuts with the rescissions package. We're going to talk about that here coming up. Really? The rescissions package? I mean, that's one of the ideas. One of the things that they were talking about is, well, this rescissions package that they're introducing, if Republicans were serious about cutting it, this package would have been proposed a hell of a lot sooner. Now, if you don't know what rescissions are, that's the president making a proposal to not spend money that was appropriated to spend on a certain item. But Congress, they all have to agree on it. Now, there's a way to get around it using a pocket rescission, which is like a pocket veto. And that's a way to run out the clock. Meaning they want to run out the budget authority in the 11th hour so that Congress's hands are tied. The problem with that is that there has been legal fights over that before, and it gets really technical because in some instances it's legally allowed and then some instances it's fought. So, for instance, let me pull this story up. This was back in, I think it was 2019. Yeah. So this was in August of 2019, and it had to do with foreign aid. And it was a rescission after there was a big fight between POTUS's budget advisors and his cabinet officials. And the people who were trying to be more fiscally constraining were trying to, convince POTUS that we need to restrain on our spending. Then they got into a fight with some members of Congress because some members of Congress did not want to, and they eventually won. But they were trying to make it to where they would freeze foreign policy funding. It was a foreign policy thing. They were going to try to freeze it. They were going to run the clock out with a pocket rescission. GAO said that you can't do that, and it ended up being kind of a big fight, and POTUS had to walk it back. I don't want to get into that problem either. There's some people say that the pocket rescission is a legal way to bypass Congress. Some are saying that it's not a legal way to bypass Congress, and they go back to Nixon because Nixon tried doing it and then he got in trouble a lot. So there's some legal history there, and it gets, my problem is I've asked a number of legal experts back channel about this, and I've asked three different ones and none of them agree. Like, no one's even on the same side, and it kind of is very frustrating. So it gets real. But isn't it stupid that it gets that much into the weeds? Just like, stop the damn spending. And we don't even have to have these. Well, let's see. This is a statutory reality, but is it a practical one? This is what the statute says, but does that mean you can do this in real time? It's insane. But the bottom line is that this, to go after some of these more fiscally conservative lawmakers who are simply going by the promises made during the campaign cycle is asinine. I want to remind everyone that we barely have a majority in the Senate. We barely have a majority in the House. Now, simultaneously, these are all used as excuses for why we cannot cut more. Why in the hell would you endanger that when trying to cut spending? Go after the people who would be brave enough to cut more. Why would we imperil ourselves that way? Sorry, but the GOP is not incredibly wealthy and constitutionally responsible lawmakers. We got a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up. And like I said, we're going to talk to one of the people that's in the fight with the pocket rescission stuff here coming up as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program, Kel-Tec Gen 3 Sub 2K, which they rolled out with just a month ago. And it's another game changer from Kel-Tec, which always makes really cool stuff. Incredibly neat stuff. Great quality. I mean, it's American parts, American labor, and everything is made right here in the U.S. of A. And it is the Sub 2K. This is the one that folds in half, which is awesome because it's like gun origami. You can just take it and fold it in half. It's awesome. Folding available in all these different calibers. Now even more versatile with the 10 millimeter chambering. Single twist and fold motion of that rotating forend. That's what folds it in half. And it deploys just as quickly and easily. Zeroed and ready to rock. Simple and reliable blowback design, so you have ease in maintenance and consistent performance. Internal buffer for softer recoil. Lighter 5-pound trigger pull. You have an integrated M-lock, and you got rails up top for accessories. Ideal for everything, and it's made right here in the U.S. of A. Learn more about KeltecWeapons.com. Innovation Performance, Kel-Tec, K-E-L-T-E-C, Weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, this woman's not having a good day. A dead woman. Well, she's not really dead if she wakes up inside the coffin, is it? 88-year-old woman. She was almost buried alive. She woke up while her presumed dead body was being prepared by funeral workers. This was in the Czech Republic. She appeared unresponsive. And then they declared her dead. They put her in a coffin, and they... funeral workers realized that after she opened her eyes that she was alive and that she was breathing. And oh boy, that seems like a big miss. Can you imagine? Good night. 80 years old. Oh my gosh. A driver jailed for a crash that wrecked 5 police cars during his first date. He was out on a date. They said it was crazy that nobody was killed after Mazyar Azarbanyad failed to stop. Got a lot of Z's in your name. A catastrophic collision. It was in Britain that this happened. He was worse than a woman driver. A pet zebra wreaks havoc on a Tennessee interstate after an escape. Or if you're British, a zebra. Dodging vehicles, narrowly missing being hit. A pet zebra ran into traffic along a Nashville interstate over the weekend. He's still missing, apparently. He broke loose. And they're searching for... He's just running everywhere. If you see him, no pets, maybe. Or pets. I don't know. I feel like finders keepers, you know? I want a pet zebra. Let's see. What is this? A P&Q apologizes after a cabinet that was described as easy to assemble even if you're a girl. I don't even know what this is. It's a flat pack bamboo bathroom shelf that somebody bought. And they said it's like an IKEA thing. And they said, easy to assemble the cabinet even if you're a girl. And people took offense. Get over it. It's true. Probably all the people that got mad were girls. A thief that tried to steal a tire off a cop's personal vehicle was arrested after a fight. Yeah, they can't really do that. The worst car theft ever. Like, can you imagine? Or tire theft. Coming up, we're going to talk about what's happening with this rescissions proposal. Stick with us.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
So we have the big, beautiful bill, what we were talking about, and then you also have the rescissions. These are things we've been discussing for the past, I don't know, couple of weeks, I guess. The past week. And we're going to dive into it further if you're just joining us. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. Channel 347 is the stream. The chat's at Rumble, all kinds of good stuff. Joining us right now, Joseph Wade Miller is a senior advisor for the Center for Renewing America. And he also worked with Ted Cruz. He's worked with Congressman Chip Roy. And he joins us now via video. Wade, it's good to have you. Thanks so much for joining us. So we have the big, beautiful bill, and then there is also, separate from that, this request from the president that a lot of people are learning about for the first time, although it's been, you know, we got a couple hundred years of precedent for this. I mean, it's the impoundment. A president can say, yeah, I got this money. I don't want to spend this money and reinforce that idea with Congress, and then Congress can take action or not. And these are two separate ways that we're trying to tackle this big, giant mess of runaway spending and enforce a little bit of austerity. Tell us a little bit about what some of the strategy is with the rescissions, because that seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, where a lot of the fiscal hawks are, they're putting all their eggs in that rescissions basket, because I get the feeling that they think that that's the best strategy for accomplishing this for voters.
That's right. And it's important. Thanks for having me on. It's important to understand that DOGE cuts almost entirely are mandatory spending. So we can't do that on the current reconciliation process. A lot of people are saying they want to see more cuts, more, and certainly I'm for more cuts on reconciliation bill. But we can't get a lot of the DOGE cuts because they wouldn't pass the Byrd rule in the Senate. So the strategy behind the scenes has been to use the rescissions process. And prior to the 70s, presidents used impoundment authority. And then in the 70s, during the Nixon era, Congress passed a law, and I would argue unconstitutionally, revoking the impoundment authority of the president and then instituting this new regime in which rescissions exist. And so in a nutshell, you're going to see a package today. And what that rescissions package will say is, these are things we'd like to cut. At that point, the president can withhold funding for 45 days. During that period of time, Congress has to vote for it, or if they don't bring it up, it just fails after 45 days. That's the normal rescissions process. What a lot of people don't know, a lot of people, most members of Congress, most congressional staffers, quite a few people just don't know, is about a lesser known process known as pocket rescissions. And because the president can withhold funding for 45 days, if you do a pocket rescission after roughly August 18th, it automatically goes into effect. And the reason that is because the president will withhold that funding for 45 days, surpassing September 30th. So once you get to October 1st, there's no more authority. You lose the budget authority to spend funds in fiscal year 25. So the rescission cuts, any package that's submitted at that point would automatically go into effect. So naturally, a lot of us and conservatives have been clamoring to get DOGE cuts. And that is a completely rational argument if you don't know what a pocket rescission is, which most members of Congress until this week did not. Most staffers still do not, and we're educating them through that process. So it's a completely rational and logical thing to say, why aren't you doing more? And also in the context that, you know, I live in the DC area. I've been doing this for a long time. I am used to, as a conservative, the establishment and leadership saying, we can't do it right now, but trust us, we'll do it later. So here I am saying, we have to pass the package that's coming forward today. If that package doesn't pass, we cannot use a pocket rescission on it later. So it's very important that everyone supports the upcoming rescissions package. But after this, I would say it is in our strategic best interest to say no more rescissions packages, do it all after August 18th. Because then no matter what Congress does, they can vote against it, they can vote fully to support it, they can vote for half of it, it automatically happens. And I think that this is a really easy path for us to rack up all of Elon Musk's DOGE cuts plus some, get some additional reforms that way. And then we can look later this summer at also the impoundment process and see how that might be used. There's a lot coming, but we need to be careful and not get ahead of ourselves and urge too much expediency on this, and then give Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins an ability to take away our ability to get these DOGE cuts enacted.
And that's a really good point. I love the idea of running out that budget authority on that, running out the clock. I mean, and that's essentially what it is in doing this. And this is fascinating. We're talking with Wade Miller. He's with Center for Renewing America. I know, and I was looking back in history, because I know this process has been used before. Is there any concern about because you mentioned too, with the, I think it was the Impoundment Control Act, and it was like in the 70s. I know that there have been legal objections to whether it was Nixon, and I think even back in 2019 when Trump sort of tried this, and it involved, from what I understand, like some money that was appropriated for Ukraine, and he kind of got knocked back on it. Is there any worry that such a legal objection could arise from doing it this way with DOGE cuts?
I don't think so. I think that there is a legitimate legal debate to be had on impoundments, although I think that the argument for impoundments is that they are constitutional,
yeah,
and that the Impoundment Control Act in the 70s unconstitutionally restrained that executive authority. But on rescission specifically, in the 70s, the GAO specifically said, look, Congress, so Ford did this, and the GAO said that this is a statutory provision. You guys wrote this ability for the president to do it. You may not like it, but your remedy to this is, if you don't want the president to do it, to change the Impoundment Control Act. And Congress has not done that. And then fast forward to 2019, the GAO basically said the opposite. I think that this lends credence to the fact that the GAO is now weaponized against the Trump admin. And I think that there, if you look at the statute, you look at what previous GAO reports have said, I think it really exposes the GAO for the kind of the partisan weaponized regime that it is now. And so I wouldn't put too much credence. I wouldn't be surprised if the GAO came out and said that this isn't valid. But given history, given the fact that previous presidents have done this, given the clear statutory nature of the process, I would argue that we'd be on pretty firm grounds with the courts that this would go through.
Yeah, and that's good to hear, too, because that was the first thing I thought of. They're trying to litigate every single thing that happens during this administration, regardless of the executive authority that he has, that POTUS has to act. And it's just like, oh, here would be another legal fight on this. When you talk about some of the DOGE cuts that could be incorporated into, you know, this pocket rescission, how far can we go right up to the line before, as you said, it makes some of the people in the Senate a little nervous?
I mean, there's a lot of buckets of money. So the reason we don't see pocket rescissions often and haven't in a long time is that they have to be done after August 18th. And usually there's not a lot of money left unspent in August. It's usually mostly spent. The Trump administration has been very responsibly withholding a lot of different funds and deciding not to expend certain funds on various legal and technical grounds. So we're in a rare situation where we're going to have significant pots of money. And what's that total amount? I don't know what it ultimately would be, but it's a lot. It's tens and tens of billions of dollars. It's a lot more than the rescissions package total that we would see today. And then there's additional cuts that you could see included that aren't necessarily DOGE specific that could be done through rescissions. There's a lot of authority there. And I have all the confidence in the world that this current OMB team wants cuts enacted and that the president wants his agenda advanced. So I think we're in a good position for a lot to happen after August.
Is it give away too much of the strategy if you try to like force the, like I know a lot of people were talking about slow walking this rescissions package. Talk a little bit about the strategy of having to propose this in order to do the pocket rescission later.
Well, I don't know what the White House's strategy is. You know, they are, and this is a good thing, they do not leak like they did in the last admin. So we're not privy to all of the specific details of how they are viewing this. If I had to theorize, my guess is that this is kind of an arcane old process. They understood that it would take a lot of education. They wanted to allow the window to condense a little bit before they started having these conversations. This pocket rescissions was discussed on CNN just yesterday or the day before. That's the first time I've seen it kind of publicly talked about. We've had a paper on it for a week. But the admin did say the word pocket rescissions on CNN. So I think that they're starting to have this conversation. And of all of the leadership staffers that I've been talking with, who are usually, not necessarily rowing in the same direction, they love this. And all of the members that I've talked to, they love this concept of pocket rescissions. And it solves a lot of our problems. You know, there's a lot of cuts that we can't include on reconciliation, but we can get through rescissions. And so when you look at all of these various vehicles, and don't get me wrong, if reconciliation gets even better, that's great. Let's support that. But at the end of the day, we have to look at the totality of what all of these bills are going to look like at the end of the year to really assess how much are we spending this year versus how much are we cutting and what trajectory is that putting us on. And when you factor in tariff revenue, when you factor in, whether you like tariff or not, there is going to be some sort of revenue to that. When you factor in the tax cuts, when you factor in the mandatory spending cuts, when you factor in rescissions, I think that that's putting the administration in a pretty good spot by the end of the year in terms of what year one cuts look like, especially compared to anything that happened in the last Trump administration. This is going to be a successful year if you're a fiscal hawk, I believe.
I hope you're right, because I am a fiscal hawk and nothing would make me happier. Oh, when they talk about cutting money, I get excited like it's my birthday.
In a lifetime of disappointment.
So I know, because we've been promised, and I think that's why everybody, I don't want to say sour, but everybody's really critical. Like I just saw, I mean, I'm sure you saw this, not even a half hour ago, Elon Musk came out, blasted the big, beautiful bill, mainly on the absence of some of the DOGE cuts. I know that the tax cuts are not permanent. Those are, that's capped at 4 years, so they could kind of fudge a CBO score. I get all of that. Do you think that Musk weighing in on this is going to maybe allow for more pressure to be applied to these members of Congress so that the rescissions can pass? And does that make it, do you think, more likely for a pocket rescission to be successful?
It's a good question. I don't know the specifics. I did read Elon's tweet. I'm not sure specifically what he's talking about. He's talking about pork filled. There is some defense money. There is border money. But aside from that, not a lot of spending. There's tax cuts.
Debt ceiling raised. I don't
think that to be spending either. I'll have to look at that. I do know that there are some senators who want to add additional cuts in here. And if that's how this shakes out, that's great. I'll take it. But I do think that we need to get this done. The bill does need to get done. There is important border money in there. There's important tax cuts that are included. There are $1.6 trillion in mandatory spending cuts. And a lot of that is ramped up in the earlier years now because of the fight that HFC had to improve the timeline on those mandatory cuts. And for context, the Newt Gingrich welfare reforms in real dollars today would be about $800 billion. This has $1.6 trillion in mandatory spending reduction. It's a big win on the mandatory front. Now, we can always do more, but we have other bites at the apple. We can do reconciliation again this year. There's another authority to be able to use a second one this year. We can do one early next year. We can do rescissions next year. We can do additional DOGE reforms and DOGE cuts. There's a lot on our table.
Why are lawmakers not saying what you're saying right now?
It's a great question. Now, some of this may be, especially if you're a conservative, you may be wanting to hold your cards close to your chest to use leverage to get this bill in a better place. So there's some incentive if you're a conservative member to not paint this rosy picture, get your wins, and don't make it easy for leadership or moderates to get you to a yes. But we do need ultimately to get to a yes on this bill. There's too much riding on it. As long as it doesn't go backwards, then I think that we're in a good spot. I don't think it's pork-filled. And some of this may be, I'm not sure, I can't speak for Elon. I don't know if he understands that DOGE cuts can't be done on reconciliation, and he may think, well, you know, I've done all this work, why isn't it on reconciliation? And it's just a process, it's a bird rule issue that it would be considered extraneous and not pass in the final bill. But we have a plan for DOGE cuts. We know how to get them done. That's what we're talking about here, and that's what we're trying to educate members of
Congress. It's such a double-edged sword, because I feel like if more lawmakers came out and said, okay, well, you know, maybe you don't like everything that's in this, but if we get these rescissions, we can get it. I understand it, because then you're kind of telegraphing what your moves are.
A little bit. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that makes it tough.
You want to squeeze out every last ounce of every part of this process, meaning you want to get the reconciliation bill to the best place. So I could see why strategically some conservatives would be in that position right now. But I do think when you put all the pieces of the puzzle together, if we get the big, beautiful bill done, we're in a good place. And I don't say this often. I'm usually very pessimistic. I usually think
I've read about you. I know you're not very optimistic when it comes fiscally. I looked you up. That's a very good point. Very good point. Well, I would love to circle back with you as this, because we'll see where this goes, whether we're able to accomplish this with rescissions, a pocket rescission. I know everybody's going to be watching this, but Wade Miller, so appreciate you coming on and laying all of this out for everybody. Would love to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Appreciate it.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So I think it's interesting. It's not cowardice. I think that the GOP is... I'm a little concerned because the fact that pocket rescissions or even this rescissions package is very slow in being proposed makes me think that they don't believe that they have the momentum or the support necessary even within the House or the Senate to make it happen. And that's a little concerning. And I made the point earlier, I'm like, the GOP finally got its own Soros, and because the party is a fecal storm of big spending and cowardice, he's now justifiably slamming them on X, and it barely took a year. I do disagree with, and I didn't want to get in the weeds. I think there were actually things you could introduce and that would not be rejected per the Byrd rule in terms of codifying certain things as it pertains to mandatory spending within reconciliation. However, the rescissions package, I mean, I think that's a legitimate point, and I think that they can get some things passed through that manner. However, do they have the balls to do it is the big question. Remains to be seen. Anyway, and I get mad. The tax cuts are temporary. So I kind of, it makes me mad. All right. I have a piece up about all of that. To recap it. I'm going to write up this. We'll have a piece up on about this interview as well over at Substack Chapter and Verse. So make sure that you sign up for that newsletter because you get really good insight there that you can't get elsewhere. Today in Stupidity came.
Boy, did I have a lot to choose from. I had a stupidity smorgasbord to choose from. But Juan, we'll do cut 14. Cut 14. Simone Sanders.
Oh, boy. Forgot about
now,
her.
Now, during the 4 years of Biden, didn't we often question, the media never did, but didn't we often question who was in charge of the country? Well, somehow Simone Sanders has the same question now that Trump's in office. What's that about? Listen to this.
The bar is so low. This man, the oldest man, everybody going to talk about age? Are we going to talk about Joe Biden? The oldest man to ever be president cannot bother himself with our nation's secrets, with the intel. I have to ask who's actually making the decisions.
Who is
actually running the country?
Stop.
Everybody wants to say Joe Biden wasn't running the country.
Oh, now she found her bravery to say such things. Whatever. Folks, that does it for us today. Find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.